Okay, let's unpack this. You can walk into a shop in most of the EU and the UK, or click around online and find something that looks and feels almost exactly like a product that's actually banned from being sold. It's a bit of a head scratcher,
It
right?
really is.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where today we're untangling this curious contradiction.
Indeed. Today we're diving deep into the fascinating case of Siberia snus and Siberia chew bags.
Right.
We'll explore what these products are, the surprisingly subtle differences between them that carry, significant legal weight, and the ingenious or perhaps just legally savvy reason why one is widely available while the other faces restrictions across much of Europe.
Exactly. And our guide for this exploration is an insightful article, Siberia Chew Bags vs. Siberia Snus Tobacco Explained. It really lays out the nitty-gritty on what's inside these pouches, how they're used, their legal standing, and even the branding that ties these seemingly different products together.
And for you, our listener, our mission today is to, well, cut through the confusion, give you a clear and concise understanding of this seemingly paradoxical situation.
Yeah, get the key facts.
Exactly. A quickie with the key facts and, crucially, the why behind it all without getting, bogged down in overly technical stuff.
Okay, sounds good. So let's get started with the foundation. What exactly is traditional Swedish snus?
Okay, so traditional Swedish snus, it's a moist, smokeless tobacco product. It's got a really long history in Scandinavia.
Right.
It consists of finely ground tobacco, typically mixed with salt, maybe some flavorings, most commonly found in little pouches, though you can get loose snus too.
Okay.
But the defining characteristic is how it's used. You just place a pouch under your upper lip, nicotine gets released gradually, no need for chewing or spitting.
Discreet.
Very. And it's been a big part of Scandinavian culture for, well, centuries.
And this is where things get interesting, because this very product, traditional snus, runs into some pretty significant legal roadblocks in much of Europe.
That's absolutely right. The sale of snus, it's banned across the European Union,
Right.
with one really important exception, Sweden. And the UK has basically adopted a similar stance. This ban, it goes back to 1992, was reaffirmed in 2014. It's really the central piece of the puzzle when we're trying to understand why chew bags even exist.
And Sweden got a pass.
Yeah, they negotiated a special exemption because snus is just so culturally significant there.
Okay, so snus is largely a no-go for sale in the EU and the UK.
Yeah.
That brings us to chew bags. What are they and how did they become a thing in this context?
Right, chew bags, sometimes called Nordic chew. They're a more recent development in the smokeless tobacco market.
Newer, okay.
And they are intentionally designed to look and feel very, very much like snus pouches, but their creation was specifically to navigate those existing snus bans in various countries. The main difference, it lies in the tobacco itself. Chew bags contain coarse-cut tobacco.
Coarse cut, not ground.
Exactly. Quite different from the finely ground stuff in snus. And the pouch material is also often a bit thicker, maybe more robust, to handle potential chewing.
So the name isn't just a suggestion, then. They are actually meant to be chewed.
That's the idea, yeah. The intended way to use them involves gently chewing the bag a few times, helps release the flavor and nicotine.
Okay.
And after this initial chew, they're typically just parked under the lip, just like snus.
I'm
Now, here's where the legal maneuvering comes in. EU law specifically prohibits oral tobacco products intended to be sucked.
right, the snus definition.
Precisely, but it makes an exception for chewing tobacco. So, by marketing these products as intended for chewing, manufacturers found a way to legally offer a very similar experience.
Clever.
It is, especially in markets like Germany, where cow tobacco chewing tobacco is legal, but snus isn't. So, it's a fascinating example of how legal definitions can really drive product innovation.
That's a clever sidestep indeed. So, beyond this intended chewing action, are there noticeable differences in what's inside the pouch and how it affects the user?
Yeah, there are some technical differences in composition. Comes from that distinction between finely ground and coarse-cut tobacco.
Okay.
Snus uses finely ground, pasteurized tobacco, gives it a soft, moist texture. Chew bags, on the other hand, have a longer cut or more coarsely cut tobacco leaf, results in a slightly, maybe tougher feel.
And that affects the nicotine.
It can influence how quickly nicotine is released, yeah. The finely ground tobacco in snus tends to release nicotine relatively quickly.
Right.
With chew bags, the coarser tobacco might release it a bit more slowly unless it's chewed, which helps break it up. And like I said, the pouch material for chew bags is generally a bit stronger too.
But what about the actual strength of the flavors? Are those fundamentally different between snus and chew bags?
Not necessarily, not at all. I mean, in terms of nicotine content and flavor, a chew bag can be formulated to be virtually identical to a snus product. Yeah, the article points out one reviewer even compared a chewing bag to a traditional snus and found minimal difference. Just maybe minor variations in moisture and how fine the tobacco grind was.
Yeah.
And both snus and chew bags also come in various portion formats, you know, white dry, white portion, original or moist portion.
Right. Those affect things too.
Exactly. And those formats significantly impact moisture and nicotine delivery, totally separate from whether it's legally called snus or chew.
So from the perspective of someone actually using these products,
yeah,
how different does it actually feel day to day?
You know, for the vast majority of users, the experience is remarkably similar.
Okay.
You got a small pouch, you place it under your lip for a while. Simple as that.
Even with the chewing thing?
Well, yeah. While chew bags are designed with the intention that they might be gently chewed, loads of users just don't. They place them under their lip and leave them there, exactly like snus.
Right.
And crucially, neither product requires spitting, which makes them both pretty discreet. Any variations you might feel in flavor intensity or nicotine delivery, that's primarily down to the specific recipe of that product, the moisture, the flavorings, the nicotine strength itself.
Not the chew versus snus label.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not the fundamental classification. Some chew bags might advertise, you know, a burst of flavor if you bite them, but they work just fine passively too.
So really, it's mostly legal stuff and minor manufacturing tweaks.
At the end of the day, yes. That seems to be the long and short of it.
This brings us back to the legal tightrope walk. Can you just remind us of the current situation with snus and chew bags in the EU and the UK?
Sure. So as we said, snus sales prohibited in the EU since 92, Sweden being the exception. UK has a similar ban.
Right.
Chew bags, though, they initially found their niche by fitting that legal definition of chewing tobacco, which is permitted.
The loophole again.
Loophole. And for a number of years, this allowed people in the EU and UK to legally buy chew bags, often online, even though snus itself was banned.
So you'd see familiar brands.
Oh, yeah. Brands like Odin's or Siberia, marketed as snus in Sweden, but sold as chewing bags elsewhere with only tiny alterations. Siberia is a prime example, famous for being super strong.
Mm-hmm.
Legally sold as Siberia chew bags in the UK and EU makes it accessible despite the snus ban.
But the article mentions some recent shifts in the regulatory landscape. What's been happening there?
Yeah, things are definitely evolving. There's been increasing scrutiny from authorities. They're questioning whether these chew bags that are mostly just parked under the lip like snus should really be called chewing tobacco.
Okay. Pushback.
Exactly. A big development was a 2023 ruling by a court in Bavaria, Germany. They basically classified chew bags as snus.
Wow.
Which effectively led to their ban in that specific region. Okay. And that ruling could potentially influence regulations elsewhere in the EU.
So the loophole might be closer.
It seems like it's getting tighter, yeah. Chew bags are still available in many places, but the situation's dynamic. You really need to be aware of local laws.
Good advice.
But as a general rule of thumb, any tobacco pouch product you see legally sold in the EU and UK today, it's almost certainly labeled as a chew bag. Genuine snus just can't be openly marketed for sale.
So let's try to crystallize the core differences between snus and chew bags at a glance, just for clarity.
Okay, good idea. Let's break it down. First, tobacco cut and prep. Snus, finely ground. Chew bags is coarse cut, different texture.
Got it.
Second, couch material. Snus is usually standard, like a tea bag. Chew bags, generally thicker, more durable for that potential chewing.
Right.
Third, how you use it. Snus is just placed under the lip, no chewing needed. Chew bags are designed for a few initial chews, then parking, though many users skip the chewing part.
Okay.
Fourth, nicotine release. Both offer steady delivery. Chewing a chew bag might speed up the initial hit, but the overall nicotine content can be identical. Moisture level often matters more here than the snus chew label itself.
Makes sense.
Fifth, flavor variety. Snus used to have way more options historically, but chew bags have really caught up, often mirroring the same flavors.
Hmm.
And finally, the big one, legal classification. Snus, oral tobacco, banned for sale in EUK, except Sweden. Chew bags equal legally sold as chewing tobacco. So exempt from the snus ban, that's the crux of it.
It's remarkable how manufacturers have adapted. The article highlights several key players offering both snus and chew versions. Let's look at some of these major brands.
Absolutely. One of the most prominent is GN Tobacco, Swedish company known for really high nicotine snus.
Like Odin's in Siberia.
Exactly. Odin's range and the exceptionally strong Siberia brand. So to serve EU consumers, GN makes chew versions. Odin's is available as chewing tobacco portions in the EU. Odin's cold dry chewing bags, for instance,
right,
allows EU users to get those Odin's flavors and strengths. And Siberia, likewise, sold as Siberia chew bags in the EU and UK.
So they have parallel lines.
Pretty much. It's a dual product line strategy that really shows how they're working within the legal framework to reach people globally, despite different rules. You know, Odin's Extreme White Dry, Siberia Negus 80 degrees C,
yeah,
extremely strong. Those are big ones.
And V2 Tobacco, a Danish company, they were also key innovators here, weren't they?
Yeah, V2 Tobacco was a real pioneer in creating chew bag versions. Their popular Thundersnus.
Heard of that one.
Yeah. Known for strong nicotine, flavors like Frosted, Original. They released it in a Thunder Chew format specifically for EU countries.
Same recipe.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
Same recipes as Thundersnus, just slight tweaks to the tobacco cut to meet that chewing tobacco definition. They did it with other brands like Off-Road, too.
Yeah.
Thunder Frosted, Extra Strong, Thunder Original. Both came in snus and chew formats. V2 got bought by Swedish Match in 2017. But the Thunder brand continued, and their chew bags were pretty widely available, especially online for UK folks and in places like Germany and Denmark.
Even the industry giant Swedish Match got involved, though it sounds like their approach was maybe a bit more selective.
That's right. Swedish Match, biggest snus producer, makes iconic brands like General, Göteborgs Rapé. Definitely. They also experimented with chew bags. For instance, they launched General chew bags in Switzerland back in 2016.
Okay.
These were basically General snus portions, but made with cut tobacco, tougher pouch, marketed as chewing tobacco, mirrored the classic General flavors Original white mint.
How do they describe them?
Swedish Match described them as cut tobacco in small pouches, designed for chewing a few times, then placing under the lip. Göteborgs Rapé, with its unique juniper flavor, also saw a chew version in some EU markets.
Less common.
Yeah, their offerings seemed a bit more limited compared to the smaller companies focusing on that chew bag market. So if you do find General or Göteborgs Rapé sold in the EU, it's almost certainly the chew bag version labeled chewing tobacco.
And what about some of the other brands mentioned, like Gotlandsnus and AG Snus?
Right. Gotlandsnus, they make Jacobsen Snus, known for more, maybe nuanced flavors. They also introduced chew versions like Jacobsen's Chew and Cruiser Chew bags, mainly aimed at places like Germany. Tried to replicate those distinctive Jacobsen's flavors legally.
Okay. And AG Snus?
AG Snus, Danish producer of the Captain brand. They offered some Captain products as chew bags too, but more notably, they launched a whole separate brand called INK.
Lepin K.
Yeah, specifically as a modern chew bag line just for the EU market. Interestingly, INK chew bags don't have a direct snus equivalent in Sweden.
Purpose-built.
Exactly. Created specifically to give that snus-like experience legally to EU consumers, offered various flavors and strengths, Ink Strong Original, Ink Extreme Ice, things like that.
Now, let's really zoom in on the central focus here, Siberia.
Siberia.
This brand has built up quite a reputation, hasn't
it? Oh, absolutely. Siberia's reached almost legendary status, particularly for its incredibly high nicotine strength and that super intense flavor.
Made by GN Tobacco, right?
Yep, GN Tobacco. It's often called the strongest snus in the world, and for good reason.
That's strong, we're talking.
Some variants hit 43 milligrams per gram of nicotine.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's significantly higher than most other strong snus products out there. And flavor-wise, it's typically this sharp, powerful mix of mint and menthol with dark tobacco. Creates a really potent, long-lasting cooling effect.
Intense combo.
Very. And this mix of extreme nicotine and intense mint has built this really dedicated following worldwide. Even where it's not officially sold as snus, it caters to a segment looking for that extreme experience.
So when we specifically compare Siberia snus versus Siberia chew bags, what are the actual tangible differences, if any?
Okay, this is the crucial point. In terms of nicotine content, flavor profile, the overall format, there is virtually no discernible difference.
Really? None?
Pretty much none. Siberia chew bags use the exact same recipe as Siberia snus. The only potential minor tweak is maybe a fractionally coarser cut of the tobacco just to meet that legal classification for chew bags.
And users notice?
Users consistently report the experience is practically indistinguishable. You get the same intense mint rush, the same incredibly strong nicotine hit. It's very common for retailers, even consumers, just to call Siberia Chew bags Siberia Snooze because they look, smell, and feel identical.
So the label is the main thing.
Essentially, yes. A can of Siberia Negish 80 degrees C. Extremely strong, white, dry in Sweden, says Snooze. The exact same can in, say, Germany will likely say chewing tobacco.
Might have a little picture suggesting chewing.
Yeah, maybe a small graphic. But the effect under the lip, exactly the same. It's almost like a legal game of semantics, really.
And how do users typically handle these Siberia chew bags? Do they actually bother chewing them?
Well, while you can chew them slightly, the packaging might even suggest it to speed up release. The reality is, many Siberia fans just park the pouch under their lip, exactly like traditional snooze.
Especially the dry ones.
Yeah, exactly. Many popular Siberia versions are white dry, meaning low moisture. That gives a slower drip, longer lasting experience. Chewing can moisten it faster if you want a quicker hit.
And the pouch holds up.
Oh, yeah. The pouch material in the chew-labeled cans is designed to be durable enough for gentle chewing without tearing. Retailers often describe it as optimized for taste and nicotine delivery, with that option to chew for a faster effect.
So same product, different label.
Fundamentally, yes. Yeah. Siberia Snooze and Siberia Chew Bags are essentially the same product with different legal classifications. That chew bag label is what lets UK and EU consumers legally get their hands on this extremely potent stuff.
The article provides a rundown of some of the main Siberia variants. Could you give us a quick overview of those?
Sure. So the iconic one is Siberia Natick at 80 degrees C, white dry, usually a red can. It's a white dry portion, intensely freezing spearmint menthol flavor, and that massive 43 milligram nicotine, long lasting, minimal drip.
The famous red one.
That's the one. Then there's Siberia Brown. That's an original portion format, so it's moist. Still 43 milligram nicotine, but gives a faster, harder initial hit. You get richer tobacco notes alongside the mint, too. Siberia Black is interesting. It ditches the mint entirely, offers a dark tobacco taste, maybe some spicy notes, but keeps the ultra-high nicotine. Comes in original and white dry.
For traditionalists, maybe?
Could be, yeah. If you want extreme strength without the mint blast. And finally, Siberia Ice Cold, often in a blue can. This is a white portion, but with slightly lower nicotine, still high at around 24 milligram, and a crisp mint flavor. Quicker release, more drip than the white dry, maybe a bit more approachable within the Siberia range.
It certainly sounds like Siberia products are not for the faint of heart. What's the typical user experience like, and who is this really for?
Intense is the word. Mm-hmm. Using Siberia, Snooze, or chew bag form, it's generally a very strong experience, even for seasoned users.
You feel it immediately.
Oh, yeah. The nicotine buzz is often immediate and very pronounced, especially with the moist portions. People report a noticeable head rush, a strong kick, sometimes that tingling from the mint.
So definitely not for newbies.
Absolutely not. Not recommended for beginners at all. Even experienced users should be cautious. Retailers often put explicit warnings on them about the high nicotine.
Right.
Siberia is really aimed at people who are already heavy nicotine users with a high tolerance. Think former heavy smokers, long-term snus users needing something stronger.
Or specific use cases.
Yeah, also favored by those who maybe only use one or two portions a day but want a really strong, lasting hit. And some people transitioning from, say, chewing tobacco or American dip find it offers similar potency without smoke or spitting.
So it's about that powerful, long-lasting hit.
Exactly. That plus the typical icy mint blast or the rich tobacco in Siberia Black. That's the Siberia signature.
Finally, let's try to navigate the somewhat murky waters of snus availability in the UK and the EU. It's not exactly straightforward, is it?
No, definitely not. It's quite complex. Take the UK, there's this interesting paradox. Illegal to sell snus there.
Right.
But legal to possess and import small amounts for personal use.
How does that work?
Well, UK law mirrors the EU ban on oral tobacco intended to be sucked. That stops retail sales, but it doesn't criminalize having it or bringing in reasonable amounts for yourself.
So people order online.
Some online retailers outside the UK might ship it. And customs typically lets through parcels with what looks like personal use quantities.
And within the EU itself?
Only Sweden can legally sell snus. All other member states ban retail sales. Again, personal import of small amounts is generally okay, but importing commercial-looking quantities is risky.
And the ban holds strong, apart from Sweden.
Yes. Since 92, reaffirmed, with Sweden's exemption, chew bags were the big workaround.
But that's changing.
Like we discussed, recent court rulings, especially in Germany and at the EU level, are increasingly classifying these parked pouches as snus. That's making brands rethink chew bags due to the legal risk and maybe lower demand now.
What about traveling with it?
Flying from Sweden, reasonable personal amounts are usually okay, but border customs can charge duty if you look like you're bringing in too much.
And ordering online into the EU.
Technically, foreign shops shipping snus into the EU, outside Sweden, are violating the ban on placing snus on the market.
So it might get stopped.
It might. Customs could intercept it. Best case, maybe you pay duty and VAT. Worst case, it gets seized and destroyed. Really varies by country and how strict customs are.
Right. A bit of a gamble then. Yeah. So as we wrap up our deep dive, what's the most important thing for our listeners to take away from all this?
I think the key takeaway is that the world of smokeless tobacco in the EU and UK is this really fascinating interplay between regulations and, well, product innovation.
Yeah.
What looks like a simple ban on snus has actually led to the creation of things like chew bags that often blur the lines, especially with a powerhouse brand like Siberia.
And why should you, our listener, find this information relevant?
Well, understanding this distinction is important because it really highlights the huge impact legal frameworks can have on the products we see and the creative ways manufacturers adapt. So whether you were just curious about why certain products are around or actively looking for info, you should now have a much clearer picture of why you might see chew bags where snus is off the shelves.
Finally, here's a thought to chew on, perhaps literally in this context.
Mm-mm.
As regulatory landscapes keep shifting in all sorts of industries, how might other product categories adapt? How might they navigate legal restrictions while still trying to meet consumer demand?
Mm.
What other seemingly minor tweaks to a product could end up having really significant impacts on what's legally available in different markets? It's definitely something to ponder until our next deep dive.